At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, hello. Hi, Gian. Hello, everyone. We're going to give a couple minutes for people to join, but hello. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Very happy indeed after this weekend. I feel like I still feel the adrenaline. I feel pumped after that that amazing game. So excited to keep talking about Inter Miami. A lot of news, a lot of things to talk about. Excited to talk with the viewers. So we'll give them a few moments to start getting on here.
I know. Yeah, I agree. I'm excited. There's so much to talk about, and like, time just goes by. So I don't know. It was just that we had this game and things were moving slow, et cetera. But now just everything's happening like super fast. Hello. Happy Monday. The days are flying. The games are coming thick and fast starting Thursday. We have 4 games in 10 days. So super exciting. I'm going to tweet saying that we're live for people to check in.
That's a good idea. Did you ask me or who'd you ask?
You, Gian.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that. Yeah, my day's been good. My day's been pretty good. Had to work, but obviously also paying attention to socials, reading a lot of comments on there. We've been tweeting a lot, and particularly I've been paying attention to the latest pod that we released actually today at 9 a.m. in regards to Messi and who he should choose, Argentina or Inter Miami. So that's been pretty interesting.
We knew this was going to happen.
I knew it. And I think that we tried to frame it as fair as possible in the actual episode. But it's fun. I love that everybody has everybody's really opinionated. Everybody is very passionate about the way they feel. So that's really cool. Like, some people hated on us. Some people said, they totally agree. You got more hate than me, so that's always positive, at least for me, Okay. So it's just cool to get everybody's opinions on that. Really like that.
Agreed. I agree. That's so part of the fun. And hey, welcome from Morocco. How cool. You know what? It's totally what everyone says, totally fair, by the way. And, a lot of it, makes a lot of sense coming from Argentina fans. And I don't disagree at all. Like, part of what I said was, I think he should go to every single competition and game and when it's preparing for the competition and the competitions and the tours or whatever, I think it makes sense. I was just, as an Inter Miami fan, I'm, spoiled and want him playing at every game for me all the time. And I don't want anything getting away with it, but I think it's fine. And I'm happy people, gave more detail and gave more insight as to why, he makes those choices.
Yeah. And let's set the record straight. Nobody has asked, I think in this entire discussion, nobody has asked or thought that Messi shouldn't go to World Cup qualifying matches, that shouldn't go to Copa America matches. Right. So that or anything else of that nature, so that he can be at an Inter Miami game. Like, nobody expects that. Ashley doesn't expect that. I don't expect that. Like, that was definitely not the discussion. So just to set the record straight, the entire discussion was solely based around when there are matches like the 2 FIFA matches that are coming up where they don't really – not FIFA, they're friendly. So the FIFA pause of it'll be 2 matches for Argentina where he'll miss the New York Red Bulls game, and then he could potentially miss another game depending on how he feels after that second Argentina game. That mean nothing. They absolutely mean nothing. And some might say, okay, that is going to be used to prepare for Copa America, but Argentina actually added 2 more games within 2 weeks of Copa America, specifically to prepare for that tournament, which is really important for Messi, because we want to make sure that Messi does get, you know, into rhythm, even though he'll be playing with Inter Miami, but it's just good for him to play with the, you know, with the other players on the Argentinian roster and that sort of thing. So, but that's kind of where we were coming from. It has nothing to do with don't go to the major tournaments or World Cup qualifiers to play with Inter. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's what we said, but you know, part of what we got from Messi is that part of, you know, his agreement and his contract, and part of the reason he has such a global, you know, obviously notoriety and brand is because he plays on a global scale, right? So this is a great point that all of this could be avoided if MLS moved to, you know, a schedule that more closely resembles Europe. And I hope,
you know, the tough part with that is, though, actually, I think that I've seen this point made about switching the schedule, because I too thought, obviously, you want to go ahead and mirror the schedules that make sense, schedules that are in Europe and that sort of thing. It just makes things easier. But a point that I thought was interesting is like weather concerns and that sort of thing. Like they're talking, they're talking about like playing a game in December in like, I mean, we saw that latest game, that snow game in MLS.
I know, poor Hugo Lloris. He did not know what he signed up for.
Exactly. So imagine like that multiplied times 10 for these cities that have a lot of snowfall. So that's one of the things that was mentioned. But if that doesn't happen, then the schedule change doesn't happen, then at least, you know, a pause or something. Like there, because that's what other
the international breaks. I mean, you know, all the other leagues do it. I agree. I mean, I understand weather, but look, you know, in Turkey and in Istanbul and you know, places that are in Northern Europe, like Poland and, you know, Germany, they play during the winter, and it's, I'm sure, you know, it gets just as cold there as it does here. So yeah, this is a comment from John. Hi guys, big fan here. I don't think he should play the friendlies for Argentina. It doesn't do anything substantial for Argentina. And it just puts Messi at risk. Yeah, I mean, it's also it's a valid way of looking at it. We've said it from all sides. Games that really are insubstantial, you would like him to not have to go to all of them. But to another comment I saw that was like, Messi can't go 7 months without playing with the Argentina national team. Like, okay, you know, I understand. There's a lot of it's, you know, it's more delicate and complicated than just saying like, oh, is it because he likes or doesn't like in Miami? You know, it's not that. There's a lot of different things that go into it. And I agree. Like I said, hopefully this is the impetus that, you know, if the MLS can't adopt the exact European schedule for certain things, what they can do is they could start either 2 weeks earlier or end 2 weeks later and just factor in those international breaks that more closely matches up with those nationally. Like it's you can do one at a time and have it work more. I mean, the problem with the United States, oh, and this is the real reason MLS doesn't change the schedule. I'll tell everyone right now, it's because of American football. MLS can't be on at the same, can't be during the fall. Like from September to December, it's football and American football in America. And MLS will get no views and they'll lose a lot of money. So they can't. But they can do other parts of the year. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, well, it's important, I think, to either way, if you're not going to change the entirety of the schedule, pause the league. Like everybody
they
else
do an international break in July, but it's just like it's not a real one, or it's not one that matches.
It just doesn't make sense because you're losing. I mean, obviously MLS is huge into making as much money as they can. We've seen that more than ever this season with TV rights, with the Apple contract, with all these sorts of things. Well, part of that is putting the best product that you can on the field. And if you're not going to pause during international break, you're going to be losing the top players, not just in Inter Miami. This is a league-wide thing. You're going to have top players that are in different and other teams leaving, which diminishes the product on the field. Like, why would you not stop it? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense to me.
It's going to be one of those things where it's like an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object, like which is going to go first. Like if MLS wants players that are younger and more in their prime, that means they're going to be playing for their countries, which means they're a good player, which means you have to move the schedule. Like, you know, so it's going to be, I think it's going to be one of the things is going to have to budge. And I think what they want more young, talented players. So that means the schedule is eventually going to have to budge. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to pivot a little bit to something that's a little bit more, you know, happy and less contentious, which is about the MLS All-Star Game. One of the things that I love about American sports, maybe something that goes in the win column for MLS, is I love All-Star Games, and I love the idea of putting on a show for fans to thank them and giving them support and showing who are the best players in the league all one night for fun playing together, you know, seeing what it would be like to have, like, you know, Cucho Hernandez on Columbus passing the ball to Messi. You know, that's like fun. That's the kind of stuff you want to see. And that's what is part of the sportsmanship that we're trying to bring in, the excitement. And that's going to be taking place in July. And Messi, who's been named now to a second consecutive team of the week, is most likely, and something crazy happens, going to be an all-star. So what do you think about it? It's just kind of fun to think of, right?
Yeah, I think it'd be amazing to see Messi in an all-star game. I think that that would definitely make it really exciting. And I think he'd have fun. I think he'd have fun there. Also, too, depending who else on the who else from Inter Miami makes it. I mean, imagine if it's, you know, I mean, if
look at Suarez.
Suarez continues what we just saw this weekend, Suarez could very well be in the MLS All-Star game as well. I mean, just think about Messi and Suarez on there, and maybe we get Alba. Like, I don't know. I think it'll be really fun. It'll be definitely more exciting than the NBA All-Star game, that's for sure. But,
oh, God. Yeah, the NBA All-Star game is such
a trash. Yeah, but I think that'd be really cool. But yeah. Look, as we've said, like, this is all MLS, whether depending on how you feel about it, but MLS revolves around the big names right now in the league, Messi, Suarez, and that sort of thing. So it would only make sense that if their performance is up to it, it's going to be really easy for them to make it into the MLS All-Star game. And this might be one of the MLS All-Star games, probably with the highest ratings, if Messi
and they're playing Liga MX.
Yeah. They play the Mexican league. So that would be interesting too, because that's supposedly one of the league that we're fighting against in regards to like trying to jump to the next level and be one of the top leagues in the world. We're always trying to kind of comparing ourselves to Liga MX, which would be interesting too, because Liga MX has a lot more money to invest into their teams, which is one of the reasons why sometimes they have some more talented teams, or they have they have more talented teams than MLS at times. So that'd be cool to see our guys versus them and say, hey, you know, maybe we're not investing as much, but the talent is coming over here because of, again, guys like Messi, guys like Suarez are attracting all this big name talent from South America and from other parts of the world. We've even seen people leave Europe to come play here in the MLS. So I think that'd be exciting.
Agreed. I love this comment by Black Doris. MLS All-Star with Messi equals only Olympico corners. Let me tell you something right now. I'm not like someone who bets a lot, but if you could bet right now, what are the odds that before Christmas, or not Christmas, what month are we in? March. Before the All-Star break in July, Messi is going to score an Olympico during a game. Put it right now. Like, whatever those odds are, bet it, because he keeps doing them and he's getting closer and closer. And he's just like, you know, when you become so good at something, you try to like have real life be like on video game mode. Sometimes I think Messi likes to be on video game mode, where he's like, I'm just gonna make an Olympico for this time in my career and make it work. And so that's a good shout out. He's gonna keep doing this before the All-Star break. He's gonna get one.
That would actually be a good competition for the MLS All-Star break, actually. Like a contest for Olympicos.
They can't Messi in any skills competition, because he's going to beat everyone. And so that would be very unfair. So I don't know if they're going to do that with him. I saw another comment that's good, that you want to make money. NFL is only in America. Football is worldwide. And it's so true. I think it's interesting. Like, American sports in general are really interesting, because in terms of the world, we're number one with obviously American football, basketball, and maybe baseball. I know baseball is really big in Asia, but at least basketball and football, American football, the United States is far and away the best place for it. Obviously not soccer, but they're trying to do it. And so it's interesting to see kind of like, you know, the back and forth of figuring out how can we take the things that we've learned successfully from American sports, the showmanship, the excitement, the team, the all-stars, like how do we bring that into MLS? But then at the same time, how does MLS take some of the things that are globally so important that make soccer something that every corner of the world knows and loves? Like, how do they start to get that for the American people?
Yeah, I think that's really important, is just finding the right recipe for this US audience, because you can't take the exact mold of what is successful in Europe, because it's not the same audience. And Europe is focused, this main focus is soccer. The best athlete, or football, however you want to see it, their best athletes, the best athletes in Europe play soccer. The best athletes in the US don't necessarily play soccer. They have basketball, they have football, baseball. So I think that, like, keeping that in mind, you know, you want to make sure that you, to your point, take the good things from Europe and mold them, with stuff that makes sense, is going to make soccer successful here. And I think maybe, who knows, like, this is still early on, I think, for MLS. And as the years go by, like, we're going to look back and kind of see this as like the springboard, I think, for something that's hopefully major 10, 20, 30 years from now, and say, you know, this is kind of where it all started. If we look, so Jordan says, from LA.
Fox Sports.
It's, well, yeah, for, in the U.S., in English, it's FS2, and then in Spanish, it's TUDN. So those are the ways that you can watch that. Again, so English,
and also FS2, Fubo TV.
Fubo TV.
TV, so maybe for international, it's probably easier.
Yeah. Well, Fubo TV is the provider, so on there is where you would probably access FS2 or TUDN. So you can subscribe to that, which we should ask them for a... we should ask them to sponsor us.
I know, right? I saw another comment. Will Messi, Alba, Busquets, and Suarez play against Montreal next week? As far as we know, I don't think that there's any injuries of yet, you know, knock on wood. I think the team's going to keep going, especially, you know, it depends on how Thursday goes. I think, obviously, that them four will be playing Thursday in the CONCACAF Champions Cup game. I think depending on attrition and how the game goes and where everyone's at, will dictate how much of them play on Sunday.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be like that. It's going to, you know, how do they do on Thursday in CONCACAF? How do they play in training? And I think that one of the things that we need to keep in mind this season, that there's going to be heavy rotations in this team. It's going to be necessary for the longevity of the team to not overexert players, to not overexert, especially guys like Suarez, that you know, are already coming with a history of injuries that is a little higher up there as far as age. You want to make sure you take care of them. And so we can definitely see, you know, I know it's going to be tough to keep Messi off the field. He's a guy that, you know, you saw this past game, like, Suarez got subbed out. Messi just played till the very end. So, but you can definitely see rotations of guys like Campana playing, maybe for Suarez if he doesn't play against Montreal. You've got a lot of depth at midfield that's going to help you to rest Boosie at times if you need to. You've got Gressel for the midfield if he doesn't end up playing right back. You know, you've got Gomez. Yeah. You've got Gomez. You have Ruiz. You have Ruiz playing. Taylor.
Mota.
Okay. Sorry. That sounded weird. And then you got Redondo coming in. Depending on when Kremaski is available, Kremaski can play. So you just got a lot of players that are going to be available and a lot of depth in midfield that you can kind of play around with that, play around with the lineup. So I would say right now it's really too early to tell.
Yeah, I think, game by game, but from a health standpoint and an injury standpoint, then it doesn't seem to be an issue right now. So hopefully it stays that way. Freddie Redondo, also Steve said, got his work permit done, which we knew was happening, and he will be available to play on Thursday. So I don't know if that maybe is a rotational piece or what could be a rotational piece may come to the game because Julian Gressel moves to right back because, as we have said, and something that we really need to talk about with our breaking news, is DeAndre Yedlin's been traded to FC Cincinnati, right back, and someone who has been a really, you know, controversial, especially in the last year in terms of his play, and maybe not as consistent as you would like, but someone who was a captain, a leader, a really important glue piece for Inter Miami, who is, you know, no longer with the team. And I'm curious, Gian, you know, we both said, especially in the offseason, how we wanted him replaced in the starting lineup. We wanted someone, a better right back who had more ability to move forward and was stronger. And, you know, Yedlin's had a great start to the season. But, you know, I guess we kind of knew this was coming. Still hurts. I'm going to miss him, but I want to know what you think.
I think that Yedlin is was a big time guy for this team. You know, he came in 2022. He had 82 starts or played 82 games for this team. I think he was tied for first. I'm not tied for, like, if it's a race, but he was tied, excuse me, for most games played in the history of this team. Yeah. Great locker room guy, great captain. I just think that this team kind of saw what they were paying for him salary-wise, which was like $600,000+. It was a nice chunk of salary. And I think that what they kind of noticed is over the last, maybe especially like the second half of last season, maybe his performance kind of dropped. Not to say he was terrible, nobody thinks he was terrible, but maybe it just wasn't up to par with what they thought that they were paying. And they were just trying to make upgrades all around the team. You know, they brought in Messi, they brought in Alba, they brought in Busquets, they bring Suarez, they bring in Redondo.
The ultimate upgrade.
Exactly. They're trying to find all these places where they can upgrade. So from a financial standpoint, I think this team is just looking and saying, hey, where are the areas where we're spending the most amount of money? Is a player in that position performing up to what we think he should in accordance to what we're paying him? And if he's not, we're going to look around. We're going to see who's available. And we're going to see, hey, we think this guy can perform at a higher level than him, in this case, Yedlin, and maybe for the same or cheaper. So I think that was more of the case, is they were probably not as satisfied with his performance as of late. And then I think just ultimately is who, like, we have to kind of think, is this an end-all, be-all kind of transaction, or is it this is kind of freeing up space to go after somebody? Was this part of roster compliance? Was this them saying, yeah, hey, we have now, and Gressel was the plan all along to slot in at the right back because we have so many people at midfield, and Gressel's a very versatile player. He's played midfield, he's played the right back. So there's a lot of things to think about there. But one of the things that Chris Henderson actually said, which could lead us to think that maybe there is somebody else coming in and maybe Gressel wasn't the plan, is the fact that he said one of the reasons they did this is also for roster flexibility. What does roster flexibility mean? We want to keep our eyes out to see if we can bring in more players. Which we've heard of some of those names, right? Of maybe options and other players that could come in.
Franco Escobar.
Yeah, Franco Escobar is one.
Sergio Roberto
has been a name that's been sounding for a long, long time. So that's somebody that can also go in there. I think it's more about flexibility and seeing if they had a Gressel and just seeing if there's somebody else that can come in that position. I wouldn't be surprised if we get another right back. But at the end of the day, it does hurt for a lot of us that have followed Inter Miami for a long time. And we've come to have a lot of love for Yedlin. So it's a bit of a tough one.
When Inter Miami was at a very tough point, when it was players, you know, not our best players, not our best product, we were last in the we were last in the standings. DeAndre Yedlin was a consistent force, a great leader, and great at helping younger people. So agreed, he will definitely be missed, and I really wish him nothing but the best. I hope I'm not saying that one day if we're, you know, FC Cincinnati in the playoff finals or something like that. But outside of against Inter Miami, I wish Yedlin nothing but the best. I think that it was great that after winning the League's Cup, Messi, who you could tell that's a great judge of character with Yedlin, is, you know, Messi, who was only there for a short time and his captain didn't have to do this, he gave Yedlin the armband and had them hold the trophy up together because he knew how much of a impact Yedlin had on the team. So I think that shows everything you need to know about the man's character and his effort. And so, yeah, he will be missed. But back to what you're saying about salary, it is imperative and it's so important that every dollar Inter Miami and Chris Henderson spent that is not on the big four, that is not on Suarez, Busquets, Alba, and Messi, every cent of the other money has to be incredibly useful. And it has to be on players who will be consistently at a high peak. You know, Yedlin had a lot of highs. Like I said, these last three games, he was fantastic. No complaints. I think I would be very happy. But last season, he had some lulls. And with these four and making, you know, obviously such a top-heavy salary, you have to have players who can fit into the role and do a very good job to make the team overall strong. And, you know, what you said and what I imagine is going to happen is that, you know, with Sergio Roberto or even Escobar, I don't think that's going to happen today or anytime soon. Like, it's going to take a while. Sergio Roberto, yeah, I don't think could be until the summer. I think Franco Escobar could maybe be sooner. I have to double check. But what I think is going to happen is that starting Thursday, Julian Gressel is going to be the right back. And the midfield, that position that was Gressel's, is now going to kind of go between Redondo, Ruiz, Mota, like those five players is going to kind of have a rotation, I think, for the.
Well, your best three in the midfield in a 4-3-3, and see if you agree with me, is going to be Gomez, Busquets, and Redondo. That's your
Redondo, yeah. Best. But I mean, Redondo, look, still is going to need a little time to acclimate. So I'm saying you could see Ruiz being somewhere there, you know, Ruiz and Redondo until it's kind of perfect and set in stone. And then
I just wanted to say, oh yeah, well, Ian Fraser, actually, he played quite a few games last season.
Right back last year.
At right back. And I actually remember him doing very, very well. So great. That's somebody that can.
He was super great.
Yeah.
Super good. Also, we have Negri. When he's fit, he plays right back. I know Negri is not quite back.
No, Negri plays left back. Negri plays left back. Yeah, he was our starting left back before he got injured. So right now it'd be Jordi.
Maybe he can play a little right back. I don't know. Maybe
I thought about that. I didn't know.
Depth in those fullbacks, right? Like, I mean, but in the meantime, it's gonna be Gressel, and then it could be Ian Fray if Ian Fray's. I know Ian Fray's been getting more and more involved in training, so I think he could, as soon as he's available to play, he's a very suitable option as right back. He played really good as right back last summer. He's had really rotten luck with injuries over the years, but every time he's played, he's been incredibly impactful and incredibly positive.
Yeah, definitely, Ian. I think he that ACL injury that he had that's kept him out until now, I think that was his second one, right? I think he had already had one previously.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I guess he can't get any worse than that. So it's ironclad.
yeah, I hope so. I hope so. As somebody that's torn their ACL before, it's not a fun injury to start off with, and it's not a fun injury to rehab. So I definitely hope he gets better. But I think
a lot of comments about formation. I want to hear what you think, Gian, because we're seeing some 3-4-3, 4-4-2. I saw on Twitter a couple of 3-5-2s, which I know wouldn't make you very happy. But what do you think the formation will look like? Do you think it's going to just be a 4-3-3, or do you think he may go into some of these other formations just based on who's available and who's playing well, and if he maybe doesn't want to have Gressel in the back and if he wants to keep him forward?
Yeah, I think you made a great point there. I was actually thinking about that the other day. It's really you know, as much as I'm not a 3-5-2. Yeah. Sorry, there was a lot of numbers. I just got confused. I was doing the math 3-5-2. But I'm not a 3-5-2 guy. I really don't like having like two wing backs and then with that 3-5-2, you're basically taking somebody out of the offense to add an extra defender. As much as you're going to have the two wing backs and all that, at the end of the day, it's three center backs. So that's why I'm not really a fan of that. But I can understand, especially right now, with there being no natural right back available other than, well, Gressel again, which has played different positions. I think that you can see a 3-5-2 out of necessity and wanting, like you said, to keep Gressel in the midfield. Because at that point, you would you can have Freire, you can have Aviles, and you can probably have Noah Allen, who Tata has said over the last couple of weeks, he sees as a CB, which was kind of surprising to me because I've seen him play left back and I thought he played great left back. I thought he was only playing CB out of necessity, but apparently thought that very much well sees him as a center back. So you can definitely see that. And then that's where you go ahead and go into the midfield and you can have Alba playing as your left wing back. You can have Gresso as your right wing back. And then in the middle, you can have Busquets, Redondo. And then you can just play around. You can put him with Kremaski. You can put him with Diego Gomez. You can put him with David Ruiz. And then your front two are going to be Messi and Suarez, Messi and Campana. And then let's not forget about Robert Taylor. So there's just a lot of different things that you can do there. But I think for now, especially after seeing what we saw this weekend, I think that has kind of convinced himself that it's going to be a 4-3-3 this season. Again, unless there needs to be some sort of a rotation or he's specifically game planning for a team that he thinks has a lot of firepower, a lot of strong wingers, where he's like, I definitely need three CBs like this game. Yeah. So,
Agreed. And I'm seeing a couple comments about a 4-2-3-1. That's interesting. I think that's a possibility too. I
actually like that. Yeah,
you're going to see a lot of variations because, you know, part of what has been so important with this offseason, and maybe at the time we were unsure about, wow, there's so many midfielders we're signing. Why? Yeah. Well, maybe this at sheds a little bit of light that they were planning on getting rid of Yedlin and being able to do different formations, different pivots and different, you know, mid four, mid three, whatever the case may be, to make the most of the available players. I feel like this is going to be something we're going to see immediately. And it could vary and it could, you know, we'll see different variations for sure.
Esteban says it was his third injury. Okay.
Yeah. I see another comment. That's away goal rules. The answer is no. What'd you say?
No, I was just saying that. What's it called? That Esteban says it was Ian's third knee injury, which that sucks because he's so young. Like to already have his third knee injury, that's tough, man. That's tough. Like not only physically but mentally. I think that. But he's a strong kid, and we need him. He's really good, so I'm hoping he gets back on the field soon. I think he was we saw him training, actually. He was doing
– him training last year, I think,
Yeah, he was doing, like, individual drills and that sort of thing. So that's really good news for Ian. That means that maybe we can see him sometime soon. We definitely need him, I think, especially –
And look, I was going to say what sometimes helps with players and, you know, getting the best out of them, giving them that hunger and their desire to work back from injuries is, like, in Ian's case, he's going to know, oh, I'm the right back that's available. If I get healthy and if I can be in these lineups and show what I have, then, you know, it's like, this is my chance and this is my moment. And so I think that helps when you're like getting towards that finish line of the rehab and, you know, wanting to come back and there's an opening for you. You know, before you could take your time coming back because, you know, Yedlin's playing right back every game. Now it gives you like more hunger, more desire. So we'll see.
That double pivot is
at KFC. Everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Thing to me, for sure. Like I feel like we had that double pivot last season, kind of at times with Arroyo and Busquets, and it worked out pretty well. So I like that 4-2-3-1. The only thing is with Messi, Tata has made it a thing as of recent in his comments during, can't remember if it was like pre-game or post-game or practice interviews, but he wants Messi playing a lot, like higher up on the field and not coming down as far or coming down as deep into the midfield to get that ball. So I don't know. If you watch that game against Orlando, man, Messi was – he was like a false nine kind of. Like he was really high up there. He was not coming down much. There were a few times where
he didn't come down. That's why he played all over and he didn't want to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'm fine. I'm just strolling. Depends on how fit Suarez is. All very true. Look, I mean, Suarez showed on the Saturday. Just, you know, he's like, don't write me off quite yet. He showed it. And look, Campana is ready to come in as well and add his minutes, which he will. Question from Steve. When will you guys hit the North Stand and Channel games at tailgates? Listen, Steve. I have season tickets. I'm at every game. If you like, let me know. I'm always at the game. Come say hi to me if you see me. I love to chat with people and go over what we see and what we think. Tailgates, you know what? Me and John also always down for a tailgate. So we may take you up on that once. We're going to start trying to film even more and more content at the games and at the stadiums and doing interviews and really fun stuff like that.
As long as there's an asadito, you know, a little barbecue, a little churrasquito, you know, I'm good, bro. Like I will show up and I'll be there. But no, like I actually have friends in the North Stands that they've invited me. So I'll probably for sure make an appearance over there. I usually like to get there like 2-3 hours before the game, go to the pregame in the back, what is it? Green lot and, you know, practice fields and all that. Like that's fun. So I like to do that. And hopefully I'll probably see you there sometime.
Yeah, totally. There's so many games this season that are coming up and we're really excited. No chance of double pivot with Boosie. Yeah. But you know what? Boosie had a really good game on Saturday. He was, and part of it I think has to do with tactics and having, you know, two fast center backs who were playing a high line. He didn't have to run as much, Boosie. He didn't have to cover as much. And so he was able to be an orchestrator that we, you know, love him to be.
And with Redondo, I mean, that's why they brought him in. They wanted to make sure that Boosie wasn't running as much and just was able to focus. I mean, it doesn't mean that he, you know, he's still doing a lot on the defensive end, but he needs a guy with more legs under him to help him out.
Yeah, agreed. I think Ian won't be available in the summer, and that's a shame. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens, but it's just good to think about potential options and just, you know, what we can expect to see. Also, something that I forgot about, and it wasn't that often, but it happened a few times. Last year, Aviles played right back for a few games, if you remember, when we had Kamal Miller and Kristoff as the two center backs, and Aviles played right back a few games. It's obviously, it's not super ideal, but through a 90-minute game, the fact that, like, for example, coming up, we're playing 4 games in 10 days, there needs to be some rotation. And so, you know, you may have a back four where it's Aviles on the right, and then in the middle you have Frary, and you have like Kristoff or Rossell or Noah Allen as the other center back, you know. So there's some room for adjustments.
Yeah. Rock, are you sure that Redondo isn't a disruptor? Because I'm not going to pretend like I followed him his entire career or anything, but I, you know, once I found out that he was a possibility, went in and saw highlights of his game. He seemed like he was, because if he's not a disruptor in your opinion, then we don't have a disruptor. Like we had Arroyo that is in Ecuador right now. I think he's playing for Barcelona in Guayaquil. But I thought I was under the impression that he was based off of what I saw. But nonetheless, he's gonna help Boosie out a lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there's definitely a lot of options. I see a comment. Why did they trade Yadlin? It was, as we spoke about a little bit earlier in the stream. Look, basically. Yedlin, who was a fantastic team player, great spirit, great consistency and energy. He just wasn't doing the output needed to match the rest of the team's quality. And so he was taking up a lot of salary room with 4 Barcelona boys that we have. You have to have every other player be perfect and be at super high value for low cost. And so they had to make the move with Yedlin, and we're going to miss him terribly. We wish him nothing but the best. Let's see what we can, you know, what more we can get out of this team. What we have maybe a little roster flexibility. So in the summer, we can get a really good, you know, right back coming from Europe or from South America that will make an impact on the team. With the now we have what, like 700,000 or something left salary cap, and we just got more allocation money. So mm-hmm. just trying to make the most of what we have.
Yeah. All right. So what else? Sure. He is a ball playing midfielder, same as number eight. Yeah, he actually, that's one of the things I noticed definitely about Redondo, is his ability to play make as well. So that's exciting. I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to, again, help boost in the middle, but he's also going to be a guy that can make the plays. So, I mean, he did really well and for his club team. So that's exciting. I think that's going to be a game changer, really, having Redondo on this team. I think it's going to be tough for Tata. It's going to be really tough for Tata now, especially again having Redondo, like, and then when you get Kremaski back, and there's just so much quality in that midfield. I think it's going to be, it's a good problem to have.
It's a really good problem to have. I see a comment from Steve. The only real disruptor Mami had is at Botafogo. No doubt that Gregory was a huge disruptor and fantastic, phenomenal at what he did and what he brought to the team. But he was really expensive as a salary, as allocation. And he just, like we said, if we're with the big four that we have, every other roster spot is so significant, so important, and needs to be less expensive, high value. And that's, you know, that's why they had to get rid of Gregory. And it hurt me too, because he was everything that we wanted. But you got to, you know, we have to make sacrifices and make concede some things when you have Messi, Suarez, Busquets, and Alba, and, you know, we all the young players we've signed, Redondo, Aviles, like, they all, it requires the fact that you can't have every position be at that level of Gregory.
Yeah, and look, there was a lot of overreaction after two games about Suarez and about Gressel. And if you've been listening to the podcast, which, let's take a quick moment here and remind you guys to follow us at Messi & Co. So we're going to give you 5 seconds. Get your phones. You're going to go into this app called X. It used to be called Twitter. Don't be confused. You're going to open the app. You're going to hit search. You're going to hit MESSIANDCO, Messi and Co. As soon as you see that, there's going to be a little button up top that says follow. You're going to want to click that. Once you hit follow,
notification bell.
Hit the notification bell. Once you do that, you're going to get all the things we tweet about. You're going to get all our videos, our pictures, information. You're going to be able to tweet back and forth. So don't forget to do that. Now back to your regular.
Amen, Dion. We're going to quit that.
So finally, we get to see why Tata brought in Gressel. So yeah, what we were saying is after two games, there was a lot of overreaction about these two guys. So if you've been watching the pods that we've been coming out with, we told you guys don't overreact, especially with Suarez. You know, Suarez, we were saying, he's a guy that in Brazil, it took him some time to kind of get into his game, understand his role. And man, he scored a ton for Brazil. And it was only two games. And in those two games, he already had an assist. But you guys were kind of going nuts, which is understandable because you brought in Suarez, you paid money for him, and you expect him to score goals. But it was imperative to make sure that you gave him his time. We said, what did we say? 5 to 10 games, we said, right? And in three games, he comes in and gives you 2 goals and 2 assists.
I meant in Orlando,
he had 2 goals, 2 assists, and then for the entirety he has 3 assists. So hey, Suarez is,
that's
here,
5 goal contributions in 3 games, like, you know. And that's with us saying that on 2 of the 3 games he was not looking at his best, and he didn't look good with that 5 goal contributions in the first 3 games. So we can't, we got to be happy about it. Redondo is the perfect replacement for Busquets. Well, Busquets is not going anywhere yet. So him and Redondo are going to have to play together. And look, I think that when you have Gomez or Gresso or Ruiz or Karamaski, you have all of these options to be able to go to play with the two of them. And I think that gives us tons of possibility and tons of place, you know, ways to take advantage of the midfield.
Yeah. And I placed our handle there so you can follow us, because I know some of you didn't understand what I said.
Your Maybe rant. I said it
best. My rant. Yeah. Also, what is it? Who here thinks that Redondo and Campapi pairing up for a...
can make the team a ton of money. I won't lie. I would buy one.
Oh, yeah.
I know you would. You know how I feel about Campana. I wish he was playing more. But no, look, I think we may see some situations. Look, if we're doing a 3-5-2, you may see Messi as the number 10, and you can see Campana and Suarez playing up as the two. You know, you never know. There's a lot of options. Yeah, Nashville is going to seriously park with Suarez and Messi around. Yeah, probably. But, you know, with Messi, it only took one moment of brilliance to get Messi to get us the League's Cup trophy and to give us the lead in that final. It took one moment. Now add Suarez, who only needs one moment. And, you know, you take Busquets, who only needs one moment. Alba only needs one moment. You know, there's now a lot of one moments on the pitch playing against Nashville. And while they may park the bus a little bit, it's going to wear off. And if teams are going to just park the bus and not, you know, play, then Inter Miami, they'll take advantage of it. And they will, you know, they'll make you pay. And so I don't think we're going to just see park the bus from everybody. I really do think that they're going to have to start coming up with more creative ways, because it's not going to work for the full 90.
Yes. So I hate to do this, but I actually have to step away, because I actually play soccer tonight. They call me Messi on the field. I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to brag or anything.
He always plays in a 3-5-2.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to be heading out, but I'm going to leave you in really good hands. You're going to have Ashley here, so make sure you keep the comments up. And I'm sure she's going to have fun with you guys here. We've got 59 people in here right now, so that's exciting. I'm glad to have you guys. I had a lot of fun. We're going to make sure we do a lot more of these too, because we really enjoy talking with you guys and getting your feedback, your opinions, suggestions. If there's stuff you guys want to hear us talk about on the pods, we'll be recording a pod this week, maybe two. We'll see. Make sure you guys let us know what you guys want to hear from us. Tweet at us. Tell us, hey, we heard this. Can you talk about that? What's your opinion on this? We love to do that stuff. So, but yeah, I'm going to be heading out.
All right, go. Go away. Careful
with your ACL. I'm getting kicked out. All right. Bye, guys. I'm out. Peace.
All right. I'm still here. So let's keep this going. I unfortunately don't have the capability to show the comments on the screen like Gian does. They don't give me the right access and clearance. So I'm going to read your comments, but I can't put them on the screen. But still give them to me, because I want to hear and I want to talk to you guys. Suarez scored a hat trick on his first game. Look, I mean, let's talk about it. Luis Suarez really, really blew me away on Saturday. And it's like, it seems silly to say, because we all know what he was just doing in Brazil and the fact that he's one of the greatest number nines to ever play. But wow, he could have scored those goals with his eyes closed. And if he wanted to, he could have kept going and going and going. Just so clinical, always making the right run. Ready for the ball, ready for the 1-2, just so lethal in the goal area when he gets a shot and he's ready for it. I see a comment by Black Story. Suarez's third goal was not offsides. Agreed. I was there. I couldn't believe they called an offsides. I was like, where's the offsides? It should have been a third goal, 100%. It wasn't the best refereeing. Far better than it was the week before against Galaxy. But yeah, it was I think it was a questionable call too. It should have been a hat trick. Rock just said, will the big four be rested every game for the CONCACAF games? Well, the first CONCACAF game is Thursday against Nashville. And I do believe they're going to be playing, you know, the four of them. And then after that, the week later is the second leg of that game. Yeah, like I said earlier, there's four games happening in 10 days, which means there has to be some rotation somewhere. I think we're probably going to see that rotation Sunday against Montreal. I don't know how many players aren't going to play or start, rather, maybe come in the second half, but we're going to have to see some serious rotation. Old bodies take time to get going. He always has been a diesel, even in his prime, from Oscar. Yeah, agreed. I mean, it seemed like it just took a little, it took a little bit of time and a little bit of just finding the right connections, and boom, he was off to the races. He looked really good on Saturday. Didn't look slow, looked capable. And I was happy. I see a comment from Anna, more Campana. Look, I think Pana is going to keep getting his chances. I think Suarez is not going to start all four of the games in the next 10 days. There's no way. And so Campana is going to play in one of those. And I think he's going to keep coming in at the 60-minute mark and be able to make a real impact in the second half of games when he can't start. And with the new formations that we're going to see because of without Yedlin, I think you're going to see some times where both Suarez and Campana may be playing up top. Not always, and maybe not often, but I think it'll be an option. My guess is Messi and Suarez will not even travel to Montreal. I think they'll travel. I think they'll probably go, especially because, like we've been saying, obviously Messi is going to be going to Argentina, I think in the month, right? And those are going to be coming up. So he's going to go. If they may not play, or they may come in at the 70th minute, 75th minute. We've seen that too. We'll see. We're going to start to see, I think, the real rotations, because thus far these first three games have been spread out enough where, you know, nothing major had to change. And there was enough rest and recovery time, but we're going to start to see the rotations, and I'm excited. I'm excited about it because we have signed all of these great quality players. Like I said, we've been having on our Ruiz, Mota, who are fantastic. Campana, fantastic. They deserve to get their playing time. Now we have Redondo. I want to see them get some more minutes and get to start a couple games because I think they have a lot of value and they have a lot of skill. And I'm excited to kind of see the full grasp and the full powers that we'll have. We've been doing this for 50 minutes. I think I'm going to do just like 5 more minutes or so. So if you guys ask questions and give me your thoughts and stuff, I can get to. Question from Remo. What trophies do you think are the focus for Inter Miami this season? It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I think the CONCACAF Champions Cup is probably one. And then right there with it, like so close and skint, is the MLS League, like the MLS Cup. I think that the CONCACAF Champions Cup, look, that's a huge tournament. That's taking, obviously, the whole North America, Canada, Mexico, playing the best teams, and then getting a seat at the Club World Cup next year, playing the likes of Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know, I mean, Liverpool, all of these teams playing in this tournament, Man City, that's like, you know, big boys. And so we want to be in that for a global scale. So yeah, I think that's number one. MLS, though, right behind it, I think being in the MLS playoffs, supporter shield, getting to the cup is all very important to this team and to solidify its place as the best in the MLS, best in this league. I think that's right there up there. But look, that's a longer season. That's the whole season. Having a lot of room and a lot of time against other competition, CONCACAF, those Champions Cup games, they're going to come thick and fast, and then there becomes single elimination. And those are really where I think the priority is going to lie. From a comment from Jordan, first, do you think Nashville is going to park the bus? I do think they're parked the bus. I don't think it's going to be super successful, or I mean, maybe we'll see. It'll probably be the first instance where we're seeing a team this season just really fully park the bus, and that is, you know, back five. That's the game plan. That's probably what they're gonna do. We'll see. I don't know if that's gonna be the only formation they do and the only game plan, but that's what they're gonna probably start. From Rock, who replaces Jordy's rotation? Noah Allen. Noah Allen is a left back by training. Has been a very good left back in the past for us. Obviously, he's not at the level of Jordi Alba, but he's done great as left back. He's really young. He's smart. He's very has a lot of energy. He can certainly play as left back when Jordi Alba's not available. CONCACAF will be like Champions League for Messi and Suarez. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just the North American version of the Champions League, where it is, you know, where you kind of, when you have games the week before it, the week after, you know, sometimes when it's against lesser opponents or it's in the middle of the season, the beginning of the season where you have some flexibility, the, you know, their minds are in the Champions League. They're wanting to make the most of those games and those nights, and showing that their club is not only the best in their country, but the best in Europe or North America or, you know, wherever the case may be. It's super into pride and just being the best. And obviously Messi, Suarez, et cetera, they want to be the best, and that's what they're going for. So that's what I think from Remo. Any news on the refs coming back? Not that I know of. I think they had another meeting last week and are maybe moving somewhat forward on negotiations. Look, I think we've seen both ends of the stick so far in these first 2 weeks. We've seen a few matches, like, for example, the opening match of the season with against RSL. I didn't think there was any problems from the refs. I thought they did a good, clean job. Wasn't any crazy emotions. It was fine. Against LA Galaxy, terrible referee, made a big impact in the game from minute one. Around the league, there's, you know, you're seeing instances where there's been mistakes and have had to go to VAR. It's not ideal. It's not perfect. I think we want the real, you know, the regular MLS refs to come back and to get everything sort of where players aren't trying to take advantage of the situation. But then, you know, that's gamesmanship. That's part of it. Do I think that the refs not being here right now is going to, you know, put a scar on the league or a scar on the performances and the results? No. But I think we all wanted to get fixed and get better and get back to the top tier refs, so that it, you know, but look, you're seeing it in the Premier League, you're seeing it in La Liga. The referees are volatile right now. You know, they're just, a lot of them, it's becoming so emotional. There's less respect for referees than ever before. There's controversial decisions left, right, and center. It's just a part of the game right now that's hard to control and hard to understand. But look, we want the pro refs back, and hopefully that happens sooner rather than later. Did you see the ref versus Orlando? The guy was like 60 and can barely run. I did. I noticed that too. He seemed a little sluggish, but a couple like the offsides I think was wrong. A couple mistakes by the linesman, but never enough. Where it impacted the game. I mean, Inter Miami had the game from minute one. The referees didn't do anything in that game to change how the game was going to end. For this guy, is normal to play two matches per week. I don't see a problem with the amount of matches when it's routine for them. I agree, except they're older. Obviously, this is the twilight of their career. It's going to be 60 plus games in the season, and they're going to have international tournaments. They're both going to obviously be playing for their countries, for Copa America. And, they have the Champions League. They have all these different tournaments. While I think they could continue to play two games a week and it shouldn't be a problem, I think it's probably better to err on the side of caution when it comes to some of the matchups and some of the opportunities, but we'll see. Look, if we come back in 10 days from now and, you know, we say, look, they all started all four games and they all played well and there was consistent. They all were able to come in the second halves and it was fine. Great. But I think they're probably going to take the approach of starting and building slow. But, you know, we'll see. From Remo, off topic, will Messi have shares in partnership in Inter Miami when he retires? I'm still not clear on the situation. I don't know. I'm not clear on the situation either. I don't know if we all know for sure what that's going to look like. I imagine yes. As we've talked about before, we obviously need to get the percentage of the MLS pass, the league pass, where, you know, all Apple TV subscribers for MLS, he gets a piece of that. He gets a piece of the Adidas, the jerseys, all the jerseys that are sold from MLS. I imagine ownership of the team is probably somewhere in there too. What looks like exactly, I don't know. I think one day we'll know, but I don't know right now. But I have to imagine something good, because, you know, like we've said, leaving billions of dollars in Saudi Arabia requires a lot of, you know, discipline and restraint and knowledge that you have enough things lined up with, you know, the team you're joining that is going to make sense, you know, in 10 years. So, yeah, I think so. Thank God Alba and Busi are retired internationally. Agreed. I'm very happy that they won't be playing in the Euros this year, because that is going to be a super high-intensity tournament, and Spain is still very good and you know, can probably make it far there. So I'm happy about that too. But we do know that Suarez will be going. I think maybe Robert Taylor. I think, is Finland in the Euros? If they're in the Euros, Robert Taylor will be there. So yeah, and I mean, Campana, I don't know if Ecuador, if he's going to be chosen for Ecuador for the America, but we'll see. There's a couple players who may be chosen for Argentina as well, or for the Argentina youth team, or the under, you know, under 21s. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But look, I'll kind of wrap up here and say that, you know, this was super, super fun. I really enjoyed doing this. I know Gian did too. Thank you so much for listening and for leaving your comments and your likes and your opinions and your questions. It was awesome. I love this community we're building. The season is just starting. We're only 3 games in. We could be playing up to 60, depending on how all the competitions end. We have obviously big tournaments happening in the middle. So much exciting stuff, and we're really excited that you are here with us. So make sure you are subscribed to this YouTube channel, 5 Reasons Sports Network. This is where we go live for post game, for, you know, middle of the week. We are now for just our episodes about lots of cool stuff. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on all audio platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, etc., wherever you listen to your podcast. And then you're following us on Twitter, Messi and Co. Just search Messi and Co. Follow us. We have so much fun things to say, so many ideas. We have so many questions. We consistently want your expertise, because we all love Messi and have been following him for a really long time. So keep telling us things, keep teaching us, keep interacting. We love it. So thank you again. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I am Ashley here with Messi and Co. And I will see you next time.